Just a bit of an advisory, this episode contains sensitive themes around abortions. If you have kids around, you might want to put some headphones on, or you can save this episode for later.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. On the 4th of June, actress, author, and talk show host Busy Phillips testified to Congress, sharing her experience with having an abortion at the age of 15 and condemning the extreme new abortion restrictions in states like Alabama, Louisiana, Georgia, Ohio, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Missouri. Phillips was responding to legislation signed by Georgia's Republican governor, Brian Kemp, which would ban abortion as early as 6 weeks, before many women even know they're pregnant. Similar bans, often referred to as the heartbeat bills, a term gynecologists have actually called medically inaccurate, have been put in place in several other states. The state laws directly challenge a woman's right to an abortion, as established by the 1973 Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade, and they're expected to be struck down by the courts. Today, we're hearing from Busy Phillips, who will share her testimony, personal experience, and what you can do to advocate for a woman's right to choose. The heartbeat bill is a controversial form of abortion restriction legislation in the United States, which makes abortions illegal as early as 6 weeks. In 2013, North Dakota became the first state to pass a heartbeat law. That law was struck down as unconstitutional under the 1973 U.S. Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade. Several states have proposed heartbeat bills in 2018 and 2019, but as of May 2019, such bills have passed in Ohio, Georgia, and Missouri. In 2019, Alabama passed a law that was similar to the heartbeat bill, but it was more expansive. It outlawed abortion at any stage of pregnancy, with no exceptions for rape or incest. Abortion opponents are hoping that the legal challenges will serve as a vehicle for the Supreme Court to eventually overturn Roe v. Wade. None of these laws have taken effect yet, but they're all expected to be challenged in court. This is why actress Busy Phillips is encouraging women and men to take action and support a woman's right to choose.
So obviously in the last several months, these extreme abortion bans have been gaining traction and getting passed in many different states. And when the abortion ban was passed through the Senate in Georgia, I believe they became the fifth state at the time to pass a ban. None of the bans have gone into effect yet. So they all are supposed to go into effect in 2020. But when the Senate passed the Georgia ban, I really felt compelled to say something. And I talked a lot about it with my showrunner, Casey St. Ange, and, you know, the writers and my husband. And I spoke with a friend of mine who's an activist in New York who's, like, worked for women's reproductive rights for many, many years. And she felt like maybe I should wait until the bill was signed into law by the governor. So I had written sort of a statement that I was thinking I would put on the show. And then we just sort of waited until Governor Kemp signed that bill into law. He did that night on the show. The point that I really felt was important is that, you know, these things are happening in these states, and abortion is healthcare. A woman's right to autonomy is not to be undermined or taken away. We cannot be truly equal if we do not have bodily autonomy.
According to recent research undertaken by Reproductive Health Research Center, one in four American women will have an abortion before the age of 45. Phillips is asking women who've had abortions to tell their stories as part of a push against the anti-abortion legislation being considered and enacted in a number of states. Here, Phillips shares her story.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old. And I think that because of the extreme noise of the anti-choice side, especially over the last 20 years, I think most women truly feel a great deal of shame about having the procedure. And I feel that there's so much misinformation that has been spread, especially in recent years, but it's been, you know, over the course of 20 years, chipping away slowly and has made women, you know, feel as though they can't speak about a thing that they've gone through. And we know that there are many, 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 many different reasons why women either choose to have an abortion or need to have an abortion. And to me, the important fact to remember is that the why truly doesn't matter.
Phillips reached out to other women on social media as part of the launch of her hashtag You Know Me campaign, in the hope that sharing stories will help put an end to the shame that is often associated with abortion.
Every single person in this country knows someone, loves someone who had an abortion. And, you know, with a lot of thought, I just wanted to very simply say, you may think that you're sitting at home and you think, well, I don't know anyone who would have an abortion. Well, you know me. I had one. And that was just, you know, the sort of impetus and the story behind how I spoke about it. And then Tina Fey is my executive producer on Busy Tonight, my show. And she reached out to me the next day and had been talking to a friend. And she said, you know, the friend really feels like there's something there. You should start a hashtag. And, you know, there have been other hashtags before about abortion. There's, you know, shout your abortion and hashtag I had an abortion. And I do think that because the anti-abortion, the anti-choice side has been so loud and so vocal, women have felt they don't want to shout their abortion. You know, a lot of women don't feel great about it, but it was a necessary thing that they went through. It was a choice that they made. It was something that they don't regret. I mean, I think that there is so much misinformation. And I think that, again, you know, we talk about messaging in terms of political positions on important topics, right? And I do think that anti-abortion side has, you know, really gotten their message, has permeated the culture in a way that the other side, that our side, the pro-choice side, hasn't entirely been able to do. And so, yeah, I think this, it's a good opportunity to talk about what really is at stake here.
By inviting women to use the hashtag, Phillip hopes women will realize they're not alone. An idea inspired by the Me Too movement. Sharing stories is not only a powerful way to raise awareness of the widespread nature of abortion, but also the health risks created by these legislative reforms.
The doctors that testified on the subcommittee that we testified in front of, the kinds of things that they're talking about and the things that can happen and do happen now. The kinds of things that they're seeing are women who have you know, extreme health risks. And because they're past a certain week, they're unable to get an abortion that would save their lives, or they have to go through a series of legal hoops in order to obtain one, which forces them to carry the fetus even longer than they would need to if the doctor and the patient were able to make the decision together. There was a young woman on the panel who had become an abortion activist. When she was 15 years old, she had a child. She had a baby. She then went to get birth control and was denied birth control because she needed parental consent to get birth control. She was 16 years old at the time. Her mother is incarcerated and her father is homeless. She couldn't get parental consent. She also couldn't become emancipated because you don't have access to your parents. You can't become emancipated either, right? So she was denied birth control at age 16, even though she was herself a mother in charge of making all of the medical decisions for her new baby. And subsequently, because she was denied birth control, she got pregnant again, suffered a miscarriage, and then got pregnant a third time and had to basically sue the state of Texas in order to get an abortion, which this young woman is just trying to live her life, raise this child that she has now. She did not want to end up incarcerated or homeless. You know, she wants to do better. And the state, because of their restrictions, basically were making it impossible for her to do that.
It is for all these reasons that Busy made the decision to testify in Congress. Here is part of her testimony.
No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual circumstances or beliefs.
When it comes to the Supreme Court's landmark 1973 ruling, about 7 in 10 Americans say that Roe v. Wade should not be completely overturned. And while a few states have passed restrictive reforms, it's widely believed that this will ultimately end up being a Supreme Court decision yet again.
I am 39 years old. I obviously do not remember a time before Roe v. Wade, but my mother does. And my mother was of that age. You know, she was like a teen before 1973 when Roe v. Wade was passed. So what that truly meant for women and what it looks like for women in this country has gotten a little bit lost. And hopefully people speak out about the kinds of very dangerous situations that women are forced to put themselves in. And, you know, some women got lucky and some women really did not.
One of the major challenges with the debate, according to Phillips, is the spread of misinformation. One of the examples Phillips cites is the title of the abortion ban heartbeat bill, which she says is misleading in of itself. Ensuring women have access to accurate information is important, as Phillips says misleading facts shame women and make them feel as though they can't share their experiences.
The other misinformation that has been perpetrated and been perpetrated by the press as well is that a six-week-old embryo fetus does not have a heartbeat, and it does not have a heart. This is a collection of cells that shows pulsing as the cells are multiplying, making this form, right? that's one in particular that has really been sticking with me because it's again sending the same message that they're trying to send over and over. Demonizing women and their doctors for making choices that A, are well within their rights to make, and B, sometimes is it a case of life or death for women? It is a case of women who have other children who need them, and if they're denied access to abortion care, these children will not have mothers.
About 6 in 10 adults in the United States believe that abortion should be legal in all or most cases, compared with 37% who believe it should be illegal all or most of the time. Public opinion on this question has been relatively stable over the last 2 decades of Pew Research Center polling, and there's little difference between the views of men and women. Given the widespread support for choice, Busy shares the key ways that men and women can take action.
I think that supporting Planned Parenthood Action, the ACLU, donating to Yellow Fund and Abortion Fund, which help women in, you know, these states, there are many organizations that can use support. And then beyond that, you know, you have to research the candidates that you're voting for. And you have to make sure that women's reproductive rights and the right to safe and legal abortion is something that your candidate not only stands for, but something that they're going to make a priority. And your belief, your personal belief, should not be able to govern my body and my personal belief.
The work that Busy is doing to support a woman's right to choose is both brave and inspiring. Sharing stories and raising awareness of the widespread nature of abortions by using the hashtag YouKnowMe is something that each of us can do to end the shame that women face. And for those that support a woman's right to choose, understanding the recent legislative changes, the potential impact, and how you can take action is critical. Thank you for tuning into our episode today. If you're looking for new ways to support us, apart from listening to our show, you can write a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also share and start a conversation on social media or any of your professional networks about anything that you've learned from our episodes. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you guys again next week.
This show is produced by Human Group Media, an award-winning social good podcast company. Human Group Media works with thought leaders, brands, and organizations to inspire social change through the power of audio storytelling.